Hi, I'm Michael Alcoholic. Wow, you guys just get right down to business, don't you? It's great to be here. I'd like to thank you for the invitation, opportunity to come to your group. And I don't know, I'll just to be honest, you know, I mean, this is not something I still am nervous doing a lot of the time. It's not really my favorite thing to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, but a lot of times, just like a lot of things in Alcoholics Anonymous that maybe wouldn't be, you know, my choice of what to do. It seems like when I just show up and I just do whatever's put in front of me, I wind up getting what I need. And that's another day sober and a little bit of, insight into, you just said it, you know, talked about how we all find and establish this, you know, this relationship with this power. And I'm going to go into that, in my story, but it wasn't an easy path. I was an atheist when I got here. And I really just, but honestly, what it came down to is when I got here, I was just beaten up and just worn out and tired and just finally ready and able to accept a lot of things that even just a couple of years prior, I wouldn't have been ready for. Lots of times I'm the guy that thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. But if you were to watch my actions and the way I'm living and, you know, what's going on in my life, you know, you wouldn't come to the same conclusion, but as far as I'm concerned, I really feel like the smartest guy in the room. No one else would agree, but, so I can look back now and I can see that there's a lot of times that, I just plain out would straight out just wouldn't have been ready. Just wasn't ready. And it didn't matter, you know, the fact that I was still drinking in the blackouts every night and doing things I couldn't stand myself for and just, spiraling down, you know. I still know, you know, I don't know. So I guess let's just get this, let's kick this puppy off here. I got sober in early September, 1993, my sobriety date, September 2nd, 1993. I do have a sponsor that I've been, following for the last over, you know, 20 years, trying to follow in his footsteps and watching what he does and try to, you know, just like I said, you know, open ourselves and disclose ourselves to, you know, try to be transparent, you know, as much as possible, let him know what's going on. And also, I've had the same home group now for God, over 20 years. And all of those things, especially those last two, are a real miracle, because I'm not a guy that stays put anywhere. You know, as soon as anything just challenges me or makes me feel uncomfortable or anything like that, or all of a sudden I can't get along with these people, or all of a sudden, you know, I gotta go, you know, and usually, you know, I gotta go drink, I gotta go, you know, whatever. But either way, you know, I've been given a program around here that's allowed me to survive myself and survive Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I'll just start with, hey, let's take a drink here. I took my first drink when I was about, 14 years old. And to tell you before that, I was just wound up, just my head was racing, it didn't fit, walked around just feeling like a fraud all the time. There was something wrong with me and they're gonna, you know, I just wasn't right, you know, like I didn't really quite fit in the human race, you know, didn't fit in my own skin, and just always thinking about that. And thinking about me and thinking about what you thought about me and thinking about what I think about what you think about me. And, you know, there was always a lot of me in there. And it was just, and so I walked around just kind of, feeling kind of nuts all the time, really, you know, just the knot in my gut and just wound up. And one day I made some new friends. And so that even, you know, kind of put that on top, that just kind of, you know, creeps me out even more, you know. And one of these was, it was this little group of, you know, it was a group of the, you know, punk kids at school. I was 14 years old. And that was kind of, you know, so I made these new friends, and one of them was this girl that I was interested in too. So that just kind of really jacks up the anxiety, you know, even more. And they invited me to this little get together that they were having at, one of their houses when the mom was out, you know, this was actually, somebody that became one of my good friends, the house where I first, took my first, real drink at. And, you know, I mean, I'd had a drink before, you know, I had a sip off my stepdad's beer or whatever, but I mean, this is the time I just really just got enough in me for something to happen. And what I was going to say is that the place I took my first drink is actually down the street from where my home group meets today. And that's really neither here nor there, but it's just a fact. So there we were, you know, a bunch of kids, no supervision. And, so we just got into the liquor cabinet and just started, you know, just passing around whatever was really, you know, whatever was there. And, again, like I said, I'd never really, really drank. But we're passing around, you know, different stuff. And one of the things that we got finally was a bottle of, 151, and we started passing that around. And that was actually what did become my first drink. And again, never really drank. I mean, I kind of had the idea. I knew, you know, saw movies and stuff. People watch it and, you know, it burns going down and then whatever, you know? So anyway, but I really wanted to impress these people. So I told myself that when the bottle came to me, I was just going to try to take as big a drink as I could. And so it did finally come to me, and that's what I did, you know, and I just choked it down, and I took a big drink and I choked it down and almost, you know, almost lost it, but I managed to just get it down. And then the next time it came around, I did it again. It was a little easier. And then when it came around again, I did it again. It was a little easier. And I can't tell you what happened at the end of that night. I have no idea. And that really kind of continues to be the way I drank, you know, really from that point on, a lot of the time. But what I can tell you and what I do remember is that my life changed, because I went from feeling like a fraud that was, you know, just minutes away from being exposed, and to somebody that just felt like they owned the place. And I felt like I could talk to anybody and I could say anything. And it seemed like where I was always terrified about saying the wrong thing, and I would sit there and I would rehearse in my head, you know, what's the right thing to say for me to be clever or be cool or make an impression or whatever. And then I'd finally say it, but it'd be like 3 minutes later, you know, and everyone would just kind of look at me, you know, and that's the way it was. But I'll tell you, here after I got enough in me, the perfect thing to say just rolled out of my mouth every time I opened it. And it was just like that. I was connected to everybody, and I was funny and I was profound. And, you know, like my sponsor says, you know, I say stuff that blows my own mind. You know, sometimes it was just like, I mean, it was just like that. And it really was too, because I, you know, I would like say something and it would be like, where did that come from? You know, I have that experience now with, when I'm talking with sponsees, you know, or sometimes I'll be talking to a sponsee and I'll, just something my sponsor would say comes right out, you know, and it's just like, oh wow, that's, but it was like that. It was a life changing, just transforming thing. My life would never be the same again. And I liked it. And I guess make a long story short, I really just was at that point just turned my will and my life over to the care that of the power that I just found there. And I really didn't have any problem with that. I couldn't not do that, you know, because the way I always felt before, there was, I mean, who would ever feel like that when you don't have to? Not me, you know. And so I just jumped in, you know, and right around that time, this was, you know, the early 80s. And what we would do is, so I made friends with the people that drank and did a lot of other stuff like I do. But I'll say, you know, the thing that I know about myself as an alcoholic, and even though I did a whole bunch of other stuff, and I did a whole bunch of other stuff most of the time, none of that did for me what alcohol does. And I know that I'm really an alcoholic because when I drink, and you hear, you know, people talk about trying to escape from reality and using whatever or doing whatever. But that really wasn't it. You know, I drank to fit into reality, and drinking was the only thing that did that for me. Other stuff was just to modify my drinking, you know, and take it in whatever direction, you know, whether it was to keep me, keep the party going, or whether it was just to, you know, enhance the effect of my drinking, you know, and just, it was still all about alcoholism. And so anyway, I guess what I was saying, opening with going there with was, my best friend, one of my best friend's parents were old hippies. And so they had this, party house in Long Beach where, I mean, you could just literally do anything, you know, so, and there was always, you know, a whole lot of stuff of all different kinds, and there was always plenty to drink. I mean, it was just there all the time. And so, this was, of course, you know, my favorite place to be, and we would just, we would go there and we would just get, you know, just get completely wasted and go down to, you know, Hollywood, Los Angeles, you know, Long Beach, wherever there was, you know, punk rock shows going on. We would go to the Cafe de Grand, Olympic Auditorium, Fender's Ballroom, the Vex Club, you know, just different places and go see punk rock bands. And most of the time, you know, I don't remember much, you know, I go out and, you know, I get started early. Sometimes, I mean, I'm somebody that drinks in the shower, you know, sometimes, you know, often, you know, and it's so, and then just take whatever and, you know, and of course, the night's a blur, you know, and at first it used to really be funny, you know, I mean, it was a big joke and it was just something we laughed about, and I have no idea. Do you remember what we did? You know, just trying to piece everything together and how'd we get home and what the, you know, what was, and, it was a lot of fun. It really was. 'Cause when I drank, I felt perfect and I didn't care about anything and I wasn't afraid of anything. And, but of course things changed and I couldn't tell you exactly when I could see things changing, but, I'll tell you, at some point in my life, I finally went to Northern California to live with a cousin of mine. And, I would have told you that, you know, well, I was just going there to, you know, just try to get a new start. But really what it was that everything was always falling apart. My life was always just slipping through my, you know, through my fingers like sand. And I'm not able to really do anything or care about anything other than drinking. Even when I finally start to get to the place where I say, you know what, I'm watching these other people and they're doing things and they're getting jobs and they're doing this and they're doing that. And they're just starting to put something together. You know, maybe I should do that too. And I'll tell myself a story about how I'm going to do that and how much I care about something. And this is going to, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I've got a plan now. But sooner or later, it's just, you know, the truth is I was just pretending. I don't care. I don't care at all. I couldn't care less about anything other than, you know, than just making myself feel good with whatever it takes and doing whatever I want to do right now. And, just, you know, living for right now. And, you know, for some time, I was able to do that, you know, and then finally, you know, I had to, just run away from the mess I created. And so I went up there and my cousin, you know, allowed me to, move in with him. And, my plan was, okay, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the first thing that happens when I get up there is I find my people, you know, and it wasn't, it was just, I was sitting on the rock drunk and this strange group of people just kind of comes marching up over the, it was at this lake, kind of this outdoor lake in the back with a big, big rock and, you know, over by a dam. And so this strange group just kind of starts coming over you know, I said, hey, and they said, hey, and we, you know, we all started talking and they were obviously, you know, I mean, we were into the same thing, you know, there was one guy with a green mohawk and, you know, so we spotted each other and, you know, you know, and I'm off again, you know, I like to think sometimes, you know, maybe I'm just kind of an idiot magnet, you know, it's just, if there's any idiots in the near vicinity, you know, then, yeah, we're going to find each other. And so we did, and they invited me to a party, and so they came, they picked me up, and the guy next to me handed me a bottle of wine and a couple of Valium, and I was like, all right, these are my new friends, these are my people, I love these people, I'm let's go, let's do this. And so we just went, and, you know, just out there, it was one of those small towns, so there was not a whole lot to do. So, you know, it's like you just go out, drink in the woods or, you know, drink wherever. And so, so I just did that all the time. And it was just a matter of time before I got thrown out of the place I was living. And then just kind of did the couch thing going from place to place. And what I do is I just burn people out, you know, one at a time. I just next, you know. Until finally, you know, I got to call mom and get a bus ticket, you know, and come home. Cause I just burned everyone out, you know, one at a time. I ripped them off or I stayed on their couch and messed up their stuff or, you know, just whatever. And so finally, you know, when the going gets tough, call mom. And, all right. So I came back home and just proceeded kind of to do the same thing. You know, I got home and my mom worked, you know, every day. And so I came home and, you know, just a deadbeat, you know, at this time I was older and, but just a deadbeat, you know, I call all my friends and I go, hey, I'm back. And, you know, they come over and, you know, we're just there, you know, and we're just partying all day, you know, drinking cheap wine and smoking stuff and doing a bunch of stuff. And I got a possum there. We're getting the possum loaded and drunk and, I mean, we're just a bunch of, at this point, I mean, I was kind of older too, you know, I mean, it's like ridiculous. And I just went from there to going back and forth into trying to have the, okay, well, let's, you know, I can't do this forever. Yeah. I got to get a job. I got to pull my head out and try to, you know, be a responsible adult, you know? But always the drink calls me back, you know, and it's just always a matter of time before, okay, well, you know, and then pretty soon, you know, I get jobs and I get fired, you know, pretty quickly most of the time, you know, and it's just a matter of time. I got one job and I managed to actually hold on to it for a while. It was selling classified advertising over the phone for a small newspaper. And I did that, and that was actually the last job that I did before I got sober. And I had that job for a while and finally lost it. And right around that time, okay, I guess I gotta get to right around that time, one of these days, I'm riding a bus home. I meet this girl. We hit it off. She gets a place right across the street from my mom's house, which would later come in very, very handy. So it was right across the street from my mom's house. I move in with her, and by this point, I'm drinking every night. I'm drinking in the blackouts. I can't control my behavior. My behavior is erratic. I'm abusive. I'm just, basically, I've become a guy that I can't stand. And one of those guys that I've always seen, you know, all through my life, and I've always judged them and said, you know, that guy's just a piece of shit. You know, what a dirtbag, what a scumbag, you know what I called him. And I'm behaving the same way, you know, and I don't have any control over it, and I feel terrible. I really do, and I feel guilty, and I'm not okay with the way I'm behaving and what's going on in my life and the stuff I'm doing and the people I'm hurting. But I can't stop. I don't have a choice. And so at this point, what our relationship looks like is, we're just having these knockdown, just drag out, you know, just tear them up fights. And to kind of give you an idea what that looks like, we literally at the bottom of our, we had a one bedroom kind of a studio, and there was broken glass all over the floor. And it was, because commonly we just have these fights and just, you know, I just commonly pick up whatever was next to me and just throw it at her, throw it at the wall, throw it at whatever, usually try to throw it near her at the wall. And whatever happened to be next to me always happened to be an empty Mickey's Big Mouth 40 or bottle of or Night Train or, you know, just some kind of a bottle, you know. They were just all over the place, you know. So there you go. Wow, imagine that. So we had broken glass all over the place. The dishes piled up in the thing. The whole place stunk. Just basically lived like an animal. And why it was handy that my mom lived across the street was because we'd have these blowouts, and then I always had a place to, you know, to go back and forth to, until I got her kicked out of that place. And then she found another place, and I got her kicked out of there. And then she found another place, and this is where she lived when I got sober. And I was still with her a little bit when I got sober. In September 93. And so finally, we had another blowout. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember anything about it. What I do remember is just, at this point, she had moved farther down. And I actually got out of her life before I got her kicked out of that place. So. That's good. And so I left that place, came home, and what I remember is what I didn't say is that I had a member of Alcoholics Anonymous that moved into my apartment complex. And me and him were talking. He was like an old hippie guy. So we liked, you know, some of the same music and stuff. And he was a cool dude. And he smoked. So we would go outside and smoke around this, you know, around the same time, because it was the our apartment building didn't allow us to smoke inside anymore in the apartments. And so, I don't know what happened that night, but I could give you an idea. It was always bad. You know, I was just chaos. And sometimes, another thing that I didn't really get into at that time, one of the things too, when it became handy that my mom was across the street, my mom took in my grandmother over here at her place. And so I was, at one point, I was supposed to watch my grandmother. And basically what I would do was, I would just have all my friends over, and, hit her up for some money, have people over, have my girlfriend over, fight with her, get physical with her in the, you know, when my, you know, basically what I did is I brought a bunch of chaos into my grandmother's life after I, you know, was supposed to be watching her and taking care of her and looking out for her. And, so I forgot why I went into that, but there was some significance to it. But anyway, so, me and my girlfriend had a blowout. I don't know what it was. But I do remember, coming to, and I was in front of the guy from AA, and he was out at the wall where we would go to smoke. And I'm standing in front of him, and I'm just swerving and, you know, barely holding myself up. And I'm saying to him, yeah, I know I got to do something about this drinking. And then a miracle happened, because he told me, he said, okay, well, let's go to the cider house, the meeting, or actually he said, let's go to a meeting. And there was a meeting he talked about all the time, and it was the Thursday night Chuck Averill Memorial meeting. It was held on the grounds of the Norwalk Metropolitan State Hospital. And it was run by an old timer, a guy named Bud McDonald, and a lot of his cronies. And he was an old timer from the Hole in the Ground in Los Angeles, one of the oldest AA groups, and a lot of long-term old time sobriety there. But anyway, I kind of got off the, and so, he asked me to go to this meeting, and I said, yeah, I'll go. Now this is the miracle. I got curious, and I went back and I looked at, well, what was September 2nd? In 1993, I can't remember whether it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, but either way, that Thursday night Cider House meeting happened, whether it was that night or whatever. September 2nd was the following week. So the miracle is that I made a plan to do something, and I did it a whole week later. Now, I'm a guy, I'll make a plan to do something, and you can't count on me doing it 20 minutes later. I'm a flake. If I say I'm going to do something, it's almost a certain chance that I won't do it. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, that'll never happen because you just said that you're going to do that. And that's not really an exaggeration. That's like, you know, so when I look back now and I see that somehow, you know, I was able to just hang on, and there'd been times when I stayed sober. I didn't talk that much about this, but I mean, there'd been times when I just tried to just stick it out and tough it out and just stay sober as long as I can. And in this period, the longest that I would ever make it would have been about a week. So, I mean, it was like, not only did, you know, I just had the fact that I never follow through on anything I say I'm going to do for the most part. But the fact that the whole time, you know, alcoholism was putting the screws to me, and I was just not drinking and just hanging on and gritting my teeth and just, you know, weathering the storm in my head and just the chaos and the craziness and all of that and just not drinking, you know, which was always my problem. It's about a week later. So, like I said, it's about a week later. I haven't had a drink of anything or anything else, and I'm nuts and I'm scared and I'm looking back on everything that I've done. And it's just, you know, it's like when it says in Bill's story, quicksand stretched around me in every direction. Yeah, I get it. You know, that was, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go to this AA meeting, but what good is that going to do? You know, really? Because nothing ever seemed to work. Nothing ever seemed to last. Nothing ever seemed to help. It was always just, you know, so I go to this meeting, and what I want to say is, like I said, I'm sober, so I'm crazy. I'm wound up. And here I am. I go to this meeting, Thursday night Chuck Averill Memorial meeting. I kind of gave you an idea of it. It's a lot of old timers and it's a lot of laughter and there's a lot of gratitude. And it was one of those meetings and these guys where I know you guys know what I'm talking about because I know you have your people out there that are just larger than life. And I walked in to that meeting. And there was also people with less time. They weren't all old timers, but everybody in that room was basically raised by these old timers. So they all had that kind of, you know, that kind of energy, that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of gratitude. And so there's all these happy, grateful people that are just having this experience and loving life and loving sobriety. And then there's me. And I'm about 7 days sober. I feel like I'm going to crawl out of my skin and I'm scared to death. I'm afraid that, you know, maybe somebody's going to talk to me, you know, maybe who knows, they might ask me difficult questions, stuff like, how are you doing? And I'm not ready for that. I just know, you know, God, I don't know. You know, does anybody else, you know, when somebody asks you how you're doing, it feels like a personal attack, you know? It's kind of like, that's kind of personal, don't you think? You know, don't feel that way anymore, but I mean, I used to, you know, it's just like, oh, how are you doing? Yeah, that's real funny, isn't it? Yeah, you're a real comedian. I don't know. But that's where I was, you know, and I did something that was really strange and out of character, for me. And I look back and I see that now as that was the moment that I took the first step. And then there was a couple other moments that were like that. And I'll talk about another one too. What I did that was strange and out of character for me was I went up to a couple of people and, I met my first sponsors in that meeting. Strangely enough, I had two sponsors at that time, and it actually worked out because, again, they were both people that were raised by these same old timers. So it wasn't like, you know, I could tell this guy one thing and they gave me the same thing, you know, and it was always straight back to the book, straight back to the steps. What about you? What did you do? You know, so where I was going and, so anyway, I went up to a couple of people that I didn't know from anybody. I stuck my hand out and I introduced myself. And I did that a few times that night. And when I look back, what I see had happened there, and the thing that I tell you shows me that in some way I had kind of taken the first step, was that I had finally gotten to a place where I was more afraid of me than I was of you. And it was kind of like I saw what the, you know, where the real threat was. It was gonna, you know, it didn't matter what you guys were gonna do to me. What I was gonna do to me was so much worse. and I needed to get somebody needed to grab a hold of me because, you know, it's been about a week now. The clock's ticking and I know there's a drink coming my way and there's nothing ever that's going to keep me from taking it. And so, with that, God, you know, I'm almost kind of running out of time, but I'll tell you that first meeting, there was a lot of experiences and things that I could look back on now and see that God had his hand on me all the whole time. And again, like I said, I didn't believe in God. So I'll tell you, so I did get with those sponsors and I followed those old timers. My grand sponsor at the time was a guy named Bud McDonald. You can actually Google him. He was one of the original Little Rascals. He died with 55 years of sobriety, and his sponsee became one of my sponsors. But he was really kind of the guy that was the big influence in that whole group. Everybody kind of, you know, had a little bit of what he had. And that's kind of the way that they passed it on and the way that, you know, that they talked. It wasn't a meeting where you would hear, you know, somebody raise their hand and then snivel about, you know, any kind of, you know, it was just all solid message, laughter, gratitude, and just passing this thing on to the new man. I lost myself again in what I was saying, but okay. So I'm saying my sponsor, Carl, who's still sober. He's still sober 11 years ahead of me. And I told him that I didn't believe in God. And he told me, he said, well, just use the group, G-O-D, Group of Drunks. And when he said that, I said, okay, because I knew I could do that. And, you know, at the same time, I knew I felt like I'm not going to be able to make it here because I heard you guys say something about rigorous honesty and I'm just not capable of that. I'm just full of it, you know, all the time. I don't even, you know, it's just, God, if it comes out of my mouth, it's probably a lie. And that worried me because I really wanted to try to, okay, well, what can I do here? Because I know, again, the clock's ticking. It's just a matter of time. And so when he told me that was a point in my sobriety that I was able to hang on to something. And what I see now and am really grateful for is actually that I did come here with the experience of just being a total non-believer, because then when I got to see these things that happened in my life, it wasn't just like, you know, oh, well, that's God, you know. Instead for me, it was like, what the hell was that? You know, and that happened to me over and over and over again in my early sobriety. And it just beat me down. You know, it's just like, okay, what was that? What was that? What was that? You know, I couldn't explain the things that were happening in my life, the sudden run of good luck and just circumstances and things that just seemed to all be happening in my favor. Since I came into this Alcoholics Anonymous program and said, okay, I'll give it a shot, you know? And so that happened, and it happened over and over and over and over again. And there's so much stuff I can talk about. And I see that the time's even now just starting to run short. So that sponsor that told me about that, gave me that. And that was really, a game changer. But the sponsor that I really worked the steps with, he's somebody that just passed recently. And he, around that time, another thing I can look back on and I can really see how lucky I've been was because, even though the other sponsor was good in the steps, this guy that was my main sponsor really, and he was the guy that I actually did all my step work with. He was always a guy that would just always put you right back in the book, right back in the solution. You know, just, you know, well, what were your mistakes? What were your, you know, what did you do? What do you have to go clean up? What, you know, just always right back to that, right back to you. What about you? What about you? What about you? And after he passed, which is kind of recently, you know, a lot of us looked around and we saw that, you know, a lot of the people that were either sponsored by him or that he did a good amount of work with, because he did a lot of work with a lot of people that he didn't sponsor, are all still around. And it's because of that foundation. And really a lot of what he gave me got me ready for the sponsor that I have today, that just kind of took me from where I was and just brought me into a whole new area of sobriety. What I got to say real quick, since we're coming up, so I'll say about 2 years sober, I met my wife Maureen, in the rooms, and we just hit it off. We were friends for like a year before anything else. And, we just hung out. We liked going to AA conferences and things like that. And then, you know, after about when I was 2 years sober, you know, we got together, we just got married in July. And everybody kind of, you know, makes a joke about that. But I mean, as far as we're concerned, we were married long before that. We just didn't, you know, and we get along great, and we do a lot of AA all the time. She sponsors a whole bunch of women. I sponsor quite a few guys, and now we do have an AA home where we're AA, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, last night, tonight we're, you know, trying to watch a movie and the phone rings a million times, and that's the way our life is. And it's never been better. So what I wanted to say is, so then about 5 years sober, like I said, that first sponsor, he drank again, you know, and he did make it back. And I'm not even sure what the status was. I'm assuming the last I heard from him, and we did, you know, it's a shame because we did talk at least about once every 6 months, and it was kind of maybe a little over that, and I really wish I would have gotten that last call into him it's funny because I talk and I just like stream of consciousness can go off in a million different directions right now, but I didn't get that last call into him. But the last call that we did have, you know, we had a really good friendship and we were solid. But like what I said is I was saying, last I thought, he had about 4 or 5 years, supposedly, if he was still sober from the last time he told me he was still sober. So he fought his way back to AA. But my point I was trying to make originally is around 5 years, he was going away from AA. And around 5 years, we had this, something was happening because right around our area, our home group meets at a club, and there was a lot of meetings that we would, you know, go to there. And it's just, it just wasn't satisfying. I don't know what to, you know, but I was going to conferences, and I was going to a lot of conferences, and I was just hearing, you know, Sandy Beach and, you know, just all the people that we, you know, that have just changed my sobriety and just taken it into a whole, of course, Clancy, you know, my sponsor, and just a number of people. So I was just hearing these tremendous people in this message going to Joe and Charlie's, you know, thing. It was funny, me and one of my sponsees, and he's still sober today, you know, when we were like new, you know, when I was just newly sponsoring him, we went to Joe and Charlie and we got in the front. And we were like, I mean, you would have thought we were like seeing Led Zeppelin or something. I mean, we were just like, yeah, you know, just, so I'm an AA dork, you know, who's still sober, I guess, you know, but I mean, it was like that. That was the kind of experience that we were starting to have. And so there was this meeting. It was a Sunday night meeting. And I told the God, I'm like way out of time. I'll talk real fast. So it was this Sunday night meeting. And I told, and this was in 1999 when our home group started. And so it was just a meeting that was dead. There was no energy. Nobody cared. The secretary would just get, the secretary was actually somebody from the other fellowship primarily. And he was a really nice guy, but you know, I mean, his heart just wasn't in it. And it was just like, and so I came up to him one day and I said, you know, if you're ever tired of doing this meeting, why don't you give me a call? I think maybe we might want to see if we can do something with it. And one day he gave me a call and I showed up with the sponsee that went to Joe and Charlie. And we had an election. We voted me in as the secretary. That meeting was called Sunday Night Speakers, but we changed that. And we formed a group because the funny thing is we didn't know we were forming a group. If you would have asked me at the time, I wouldn't have really been able to tell you much about the fact that there is a difference between a group and a meeting. You know, I was just like, I just wanted to have a good meeting. And little did I know it, we were forming a home group. And so right around that time, was when I got my sponsor, Bob. And right around that time, my sponsor talks about synchronicity. And I can look back and I can see there was a lot of synchronicity and that stuff happening right around that. Because here it was, I had just gotten this new commitment and became secretary, kept that secretaryship for 2 years. Bob told me, keep it a second year, just let it stabilize. So I was saying, so I took this commitment, took this group, this new group was forming, though I didn't really know it was a group. I just thought we were just going to have a meeting, you know, and just make it better. So I started inviting all these conference speakers. We're in Southern California. So, you know, a whole lot of the people that were out and about talking, you know, all over the world at conferences, you know, we're from Southern California. So I really lucked out, and a lot of good ones from Vegas, you know, great people in San Diego that were willing to drive up. God, Cliff Roach, love Cliff Roach. That guy was one of my heroes. And I got Cliff Roach stories too, but but right around that time that happened, then just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a bunch of guys started asking me to sponsor them. And what I didn't talk about, and I'm not going to now, but basically in that Thursday night Cider House meeting, you know, somewhere along the line, I got the idea that if you remember Alcoholics Anonymous, it means you have commitments and you hold them. And that's just what you do. It's just the way it was just put to me, you know, you're either, you know, doing something or you're taking up space, you know. It was just like, and I wanted to impress these old timers. So one day, they handed me a box and they said, okay, well, our old, literature person, you know, isn't doing this anymore. So you're going to, go up the front of every meeting, you're going to make an announcement, literature announcement. You're going to tell them you can get big books. You've got big books for them on credit. You know, da, 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 da. They gave me the whole spiel and they said, all right. And they didn't really ask me if I wanted to do that. They kind of told me that I was doing that. And I said, okay. And what I see right now is when I look back there, you know, I stood at the turning point. And if I would have said no, or I would have made some excuse, you know, you guys would have a different speaker right now, which would be great for you. But, so that's kind of the way it you know, started to come to me. So why that was important was then when these guys all started asking me to sponsor them, that's what I knew. So I said, okay, you're going to make coffee. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. We just gave them all jobs. in the group. And a lot of those people, again, are still sober today. And this group just exploded. And right around that time was when I got Bob. And with this new group, I was starting to finally really see, you know, those traditions that I've always kind of not really cared about and thought were really kind of unimportant and just was something you read. Wow, that stuff really, really matters. And I started to, you know, ask one of the big things in that early sponsorship was going to him with questions about a group. How do we do this? How do we do that? What about this? What about, you know, and things changed, you know, my whole life changed, my whole sobriety changed, just the same way that I would take a drink and it would just kind of grab me by the collar and say, you're coming with me. This commitment did the exact same thing. And Alcoholics Anonymous did the exact same thing. And it just pulled me, and God just pulled me into a whole new area of sobriety that just brought all kinds of people in my life, all kinds of, you know, all kinds of people coming in and asking me for help. And just the more this thing happened, I mean, it really was. It was like an explosion in my life that just took over. And it's honestly, it's been that way ever since. The Paramount Group started on April 18th, 1999. First speaker was that sponsor that went out. Dave B, great man who saved my life. And I know the life of many others. And it just continued to grow. And then we started sometime later, we started a Tuesday night meeting where we get the same speakers, but they come and give a little bit different perspective because they talk on a step, or at the end of the month, they talk about three traditions. And then Wednesday night, me and some of the guys I sponsor right now, we have a small in-person meeting, but it used to meet in a men's recovery facility where we would go in and take it there. And then Thursday night, one of the older members of our group, I know, you know, some of the derelicts on here know Cindy. She started a 12 and 12 on Thursdays. And before that, Maureen started a woman's steps and traditions meeting that was that still meets. And that's a good meeting. I've been to it on a few occasions because during the holidays, they open it up during the marathons and the guys are able to attend. And it's a solid meeting. I know it's funny. I got a whole bunch more to say, but my time's running out. I just want to say, I don't know. We didn't ask for anybody that was new here. But if there is one thing that I do want to say definitely is if you feel like you need another meeting or you could use another meeting, my home group's going to meet, in just a couple of hours. So I'd like you to come hang out with us. One of our good friends is talking tonight. And I know it's going to be a real good meeting. So if you have any interest in that, just send me a message in the chat and we'll exchange numbers or whatever. And I'll get you the information so you can come in. This has been, thank you so much for the invitation. I really enjoyed coming out here and hanging with everybody. And I hope that it's been useful to somebody. And if there's anybody here that's new, or you're struggling, or I'll tell you another thing, like I talked about, you know, not believing in God, not knowing what am I going to turn my will and my life over to here if I don't believe, get my number, call me, because we'll have a good long talk about it. And I know that, honestly, it's pretty easy to find something. For me, it had to be Alcoholics Anonymous to start with. And what changed my life was after I was able to accept that Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever you call this thing and I started reading the big book and finding myself in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and knowing that, you know, there's something working. I don't know what it is. I don't know what, it doesn't matter what I call it. There's something working. And just knowing that. So, if you're new here and you're, you know, yeah, get my number. Feel free. Give me a call or ask Billy for it or anything. I'd love to talk to you. Right now, you know, with COVID, everything's weird. We're not in our regular meetings. We're not doing, you know, so I enjoy getting, you know, all the phone calls I get. It helps me. It really does. I need it more than, I don't know. I don't know if it's helping anybody else, but I know that it helps me and it's what I need. So anyway, I guess I'm going to wind up, but thank you so much for having me. It's been a great meeting and I'm out.